Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host, Iggy Garcia, Mark Mattini, Katie Singeneagle. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, listen to some of the coolest hosts on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now, on to the show. Welcome to With Insights Radio Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe. We are your hosts, Mark Mattini and Iggy Garcia.
Iggy Garcia.
So what's up, my friend? What's going on?
Very interesting out there. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's been kind of a fun day. I decided that everybody else was going to wake me up early today, as they did. And I just kind of was outside watering my plants, and I figured it was really cold out. I was talking to the blue jay that was hanging out there. He's like,
they are very communicative.
Yeah, they like to talk. They like to communicate with you. Did a little drumming with my son earlier upstairs. The drums are up there. And then we played a little guitar, strummed a little bit.
Some chords. I saw your video.
Yeah. I was singing a flamenco song about life and Mother Earth that I'm working on. So that's one of my original Iggy tunes. I can't play a lick of guitar, though.
I used to play a little bit. I got to the point where I was getting actually, I picked it up two different times in my life, but it got to where I got fairly decent, but then it was just going to take... I was going to need to upgrade my equipment a whole lot and everything. And
chicks dig it, though.
Yeah, I dig it.
I dig it. Yeah. Chick digs.
I've always loved guitar. Always loved guitar.
It's like has a really cool way to express yourself, too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Not like piano. I can play a little piano and stuff. It's real different. But with guitar, there's something about the guitar just like when you strum it, you know, just kind of, you could feel the energy that vibrates
mm-hmm.
through the chords and through you. It's just like...
And if you have the right toys, you can create an orchestra of different sounds out of.
I love it.
Yes, I do too. It's probably my favorite instrument. I just have the bad habit of having too many hobbies I really enjoy, and that one. If I had to do it over again, I would. You know, maybe in my next life I will start. Learning at an earlier age.
I love how you segued in. We have fun here. That is the topic of our show today. Past lives. Or current lives. Current lives that are actually still currently past, present, and future. They're all simultaneously happening.
Hi.
There are schools that say that.
Yes, I believe. Time is not nearly as linear as we are taught.
That's right.
It's more controlled chaos than it is linear.
And, you know, the Peruvians, some indigenous tribes in Peru believe that there are lines that kind of intersect between them. And at any given time, they can branch off and break off. And the one down here, is still continuing with you in it. But you also are on this one over here that's moving through time. So there's a bunch of strands, I guess.
So the other day we were talking about the movie Interstellar. I saw there was a couple threads going on,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to ruin them. It is an awesome movie. If you've not seen it, you should see it.
Well, I guess you're gonna get ruined. So
I don't want to ruin it too. I don't want to ruin it too much. But there's a good example there, kind of what we're talking about with the non-linear time thing where. Maybe you can send yourself messages from.
I'm not listening too good to my messages coming.
Maybe the future. Yeah, I've been struggling with that lately. Like I know what I'm supposed to be doing in some areas, but it's like something feels off, or like I'm not quite ready.
Maybe they're sending you a warning, and that's probably why you're not moving.
Maybe
on.
It's a warning.
Don't do it, Mark.
Go back.
Don't do it,
Iggy. Go back.
No. Why does that bookshelf fall on me instead of the books falling out?
Right.
No, but that's true, though. They talk about sending messages. My problem is I'd have to learn Morse code.
Right.
So if I'm sending myself a message, it's probably why I can't communicate to myself, because I don't know. It's the Morse code. Stop. Don't turn left, you know?
Right. Well, and this is kind of... This is the schism that exists in mankind's fractured psyche. Repeat that 10 times.
Oh. Yes.
Okay, so...
Just do it twice.
So, this is the schism that... I don't even know what I said. This is the schism that exists in mankind's fractured psyche.
Excuse me. I mean, fast, yeah.
Sometimes we understand things and we know what messages are in things, but there's these disconnected, separated parts of ourselves, and sometimes we'll understand things on a spiritual level, but like emotionally or the 3D parts of ourselves are not have not fully grasped the message or mm-hmm. what it is we're supposed to be doing. That's where we end up with trial and errors or repeating the same thing sometimes, because I know a lot of times spiritually and mentally, you know, the higher me will grasp ideas and concepts
sure.
quicker than the 3D, maybe emotional part of myself can actually take those messages and properly,
mm-hmm.
properly being the key word, apply them, and I'm finding that
as he ponders,
right. So we just came through this Uranus Pluto square cycle.
Mm-hmm.
We're past the last of the seven hits. However, Pluto goes station is going to go retrograde this Thursday night. That's going to kind of activate that Uranus-Pluto square a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know, Pluto's only like 1 degree from exact square to Uranus. So I've seen a lot of people passing over the last week. A lot of difficult situations. A lot of growth potential situations. Just a lot of, have that for sugarcoating that one. But we kind of, yeah, things are, we're not always ready to, I mean, I started like 9 different strands there. It's terrible. And this is maybe sometimes why I don't get some things done that I should.
Don't, you want me to play a lollipop deal?
Right. So sometimes, we have to do then more than just spiritually or mentally understand some of these concepts to get them to flow into what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, and I'm extremely guilty of this sometimes. I'll understand what is going on, but I don't take the right steps to apply it, so I will make the same mistakes in certain situations. And then finally, it's like, you know, hey, did you notice you got the same result of that 37 times in a row? NASA scientist. Yeah. Perhaps you should perhaps you should rethink those messages and maybe try applying them in a little different manner.
There's a lot of truth to that, though. When you're talking about sending messages yourself in different parts of timelines and different versions of you, you can actually communicate with yourself
mm-hmm.
in these different things, which I find it's really interesting. This has to do with the past lives we're talking about, so which is kind of the topic we're on. But there was something really interesting that I was... We'll get back. We'll come back.
We'll circle around here. Welcome to the circular hour.
But, you know, on Saturday I was listening to a talk by... I'm not going to say any particular name, but I was watching it. It was a live, you know, broadcast, mm-hmm. and they were talking... This person is a living deity or whatever. In some cultures, they have living deities, you know, people who are God ascended or ascended
okay.
people.
Okay.
And they can touch you and certain things can happen. And, you know, and I'm sitting there going, this is really interesting. You know, I was like, because they believe in past lives. So they come back from different versions of themselves, higher self, lower self, and they come back. And they were doing this thing where the kids, they were trying to open the third eye chakra for people's chakra. to open it up. And then once the chakra, that third eye chakra is open, you pretty much stays open. It doesn't close. It's really hard to close it. And the kids were reading from a book, you know, blindfolded and stuff. But I couldn't help but feel like they had these headphones on, like they had these little... And I'm kind of a skeptic, too, at
right,
holistic stuff, you know?
Right.
I don't want anybody to think that I'm not, because I do question some things at some points. But I was like, man, maybe this is really happening. Maybe this is somebody's third eye that's really open, you know? But how would we know? Because we really don't know the players that were involved in, you know, just random people they picked or whatever. But he had mentioned some things I thought were pretty interesting. He was talking about, well, I'm teaching them how to, you know, to do this and how to do that. But I was also thinking, well, but if you're a living deity, you're able just to touch them, and if they're open and willing to receive it, you know, they, you know, just give them the ability to do this. So there was just some things that, you know, my ego was kind of moving around in, and I guess what I'm paralleling to is just the things that maybe that I take into my life, you know, how I'm affected by things. Am I really a skeptic about things, or am I not sure about it? But, I mean, he believes what he's doing, so I'm not discounting that. So that's why it works for him, and that's why people follow him and whatever. But it also, there's a part of me inside is going, you know, it's like, okay, so you're ascended, cool, no problem. Now these people have become ascended. So I just found it really interesting. I was just really, I wasn't bothered by it, but there were some triggers by it. You know, how they just, how easy we follow things. I guess is what was my biggest concern was how easy we fall into these little things that we have to be part of something or someone or some, you know, it was just interesting. I was just sitting there going, wow, this guy, he says anything and these people believe him, you know, unless, you know, he does something completely out of character for himself. So I was just really processing that.
Yes.
As the wagon moves around now.
Yes, it's very, very interesting. I don't even know how to go into this.
But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. We can learn or get information from anybody, even though if we don't exactly agree or resonate totally with what they're saying. Because, you know, we all kind of put our own belief, our own specific personal belief systems together through different pieces, parts, things we've experienced and people we've talked, stuff like that. And, yeah, I mean, there's...
You think it's psychology? You think some guys are better at addressing things than others? Like, that's kind of how I felt. Like, this guy knew exactly how to, like, just say the right thing and say it in such a way that, you know, just so inviting.
There are, in the metaphysical area, just like in the political area or the law or car mechanics or whatever, there are snake oil salesmen or, you know, people who are just good talkers or BSers as well. And so you got to run across that in every area. So, yeah, I always kind of, like, even with astrology, I still kind of, you know, there are a lot of good astrologers out there. There are also a lot of people that dabble in it, and I see passing off incorrect information, or information at least that I do not feel is accurate or agree. So I don't go troll on people's wall and post nasty comments and stuff like that. But remember, it is very easy in this age to, there's so many things, it's very easy to take in everything you hear or see and believe is the truth, but you have to kind of really look and see if, you know, listen to your inner voice and say, you know, does that make sense? Does that feel accurate to you? Just using a example, I mean, I see a lot of
posts and things out there that are like, this is a really horrible misrepresentation of...
Right. unless you know something about it, you'll know. You're the only one really in that room.
Right.
I kind of felt like that. I felt like I was in that room, this and going, I know something. I don't know if with this guy, you know. But it's okay, you know.
Yep.
But then I sat there, and I kid you not, this may sound good, maybe not to you, but maybe to some of the listeners, but I sat there, and I was watching this one. Then Sunday, well, remember the day my phone was acting up?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My phone was just like, my Siri was kicking on.
Yes.
She wanted to talk to me.
Yes.
Well, she sent me some messages the other day, like I was supposed to, something was going to happen to them on Sunday, blah, blah, blah. Just weird stuff. I was just like, okay, it's really bizarre. And I turn it off, and nothing would happen. And again, send me like these weird links to these guys. It was really, really bizarre. And so I'm sitting at home, and Mark's laughing. So I'll come back after, so I can share this, because this is, I want to get into this.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Welcome back to With Insights Radio. This is Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe with Mark and Iggy. We are broadcasting live in Columbus, Ohio. On the internet, the byways, the highways of the universe, we are floating around, and hopefully someone will pick it up and say, hey, those people are cool. But, yeah, so back to the phone, back to the things on you. Well, you were here Friday. It was doing that.
Yes.
Saturday, I didn't pay attention too much, but Sunday, it was going crazy, dude. It was just going nuts. And so I decided to go, you know, to experiment with it. And then I talked to our friend Adrienne about it a little bit. And then she texted me. She goes, I guess you're supposed to watch this show at 9 p.m. It was like after Jesus Christ died and stuff. And this is the disclaimer here. Okay, I want to make a disclaimer. You know, these are my views, not necessarily the views of With Insights Radio.
Right.
Okay? All right, it's affiliates and the people who are associated with Insights. So I truly want to clarify this, okay, because this is just an idea, just a thought, and this is how the mind of Iggy works sometimes. I'm sitting there watching the movie, okay, watching AD, which it was fantastic. It's a story about Christ after he died, and then he was again.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking to myself, and I don't know why I was having these ideas in my head, and it all tied into what happened with the show that I was watching, you know, that live webinar casting. So I'm thinking, and then I text her and I go, this is extraterrestrial. You know, this is something very different about this. There's some very, you know, when the angel came down and the angel who opened the tomb and just the way it was done, just with the lights. And then there was another one just leaving, ascending to the heavens, just all the angels with their swords and stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, this is really strange. You know, I'm not discounting anything that Jesus, you know, is the same. That I'm not discounting. That's the disclaimer part, because I don't want anybody think differently in that aspect. But I was also thinking very, very Hollywood-ness, you know, like, I was going, well, this guy's an alien, so he can only do much. So there's only so much he could do. So then him teaching people how to open the third eye could be something that very, you know. So I started thinking, maybe these are just living, these are ascended humans. We're all aliens from wherever we come from. Kind of goes with Interstellar, mm-hmm. the movie that I was thinking about that.
Yep.
So I was thinking about that. I was like, well, why isn't it possible that not the biblical story of Christ or whatever, you know, that we read all these documents about these supreme beings, these beings that come, and they have these magical gifts. Who's to say that they're not extraterrestrial, that they did not share, you know, gifts, and they have different ability when they come on our planet? You know, their energy is heightened 10 times as that ours is. You know, kind of like Interstellar plays on that. You know, like if you go down, you don't age when you go through time through space. But when you go from planets, different things happen. Time is linear. It's an illusion. So I was really grasped by that concept at that moment. That, you know, maybe, because Jesus was just pop in and pop out of nowhere in these scenes. You know, just like, everybody was like, he was just here. I don't know where he, you know, he got teleported out. So I was, all these things are like the Star Trek thing in my mind. And all these things are playing out in my head. So it was really, really interesting. I thought really, really cool, you know, and it was just, and that's kind of where my mind went with everything that happened that weekend. As Mark's looking at
me. Yeah, okay.
Okay. The following commentary are the views of Matheny and Mark Matheny only. These views do not represent the beliefs or thoughts of... of any else with Insights Radio, and all emails and comments may be directed toward me. Okay. There's a... I agree that I believe... I believe the Bible is probably one of the great... is one of the greatest books ever written.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely believe that. I believe it is written on... three different levels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not usually attuned to the literal level of it, that everything is a literal exact account mm-hmm. of what happens. I believe it as a book with awesome messages. I also think it is written on different levels. So, there are three different levels, as like our court system works on three different levels, as do politics, as do many other things. That depending on what different things you're initiated into, you can get different messages out of it. All three messages tied together. There is a literal translation of, and this goes for all, you know, law books and things so as well. There is a literal translation that some will resonate with, that everything is exactly, every event happened exactly as it is said in there. There is a second level where it is allegory or parables, where they're stories that have at least some truth to them, but the message or overall symbolism of them is, you know, has meaning, and the message is sent that way can be read on another level. And then there's a third, you know, like a higher spirituality level that is written in through like an energetic or a code language. Mm-hmm. And some people can maybe just they resonate with one of those three levels. Some people can read the three and put them all together and everything. You know, I think there are definitely... So you got to remember, I mean, the Bible was written over 2,000 years ago. And so there are, you know, they use tropes for different things. And then what we would use now, if, I mean, even our language has changed, you know, 20 years ago, you know, words have different meanings. There are some that believe that the Bible is... I have a friend who's found out that the entire story of tarot, that the tarot deck is the story of the Bible, that those intermingle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also another realm called astrotheology, where Bible is also the story of astrology.
I've heard that.
And then, you know, 12 disciples, 12 zodiac signs. There's over 2,000 astrology lessons in the Bible, minimum. And that's bare minimum. It could be argued that it's much, much higher than that. And then there's also another story that it's, you know, was Elisha carried away, or was Elijah carried away in a burning chariot, or was it a UFO?
Mm-hmm.
There are many, you know, they didn't, you know.
Ezekiel's
what would you, I mean, there's changes in what we think UFO look like and the names we used just 50 years ago.
Sure.
You know, what would you have called a UFO, you know, 2,100 years ago?
Exactly.
What would you have called it? So I don't think any levels detracts or falsifies any of the other levels. I think it's just written on three different levels.
Yeah, I agree.
Just like a matter of many books that you can buy on Amazon that are translated into different languages.
Yeah, and the feel's different because there's something Spanish that when they translate, it's not necessarily the exact same.
Right.
Even in modern day language,
right?
Even songs that are translated. But I found it really interesting because I just found like it was very mystical and very, you know, aha, you know, when I was watching it, I just got that feeling, wow, maybe these were beings from the future or something, you know, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was just thinking there was obviously a higher message there, love and peace and stuff, you
yep.
know, so that was kind of interesting. And then I realized that a lot of movies that we have today have been made based off the... You know, the bitch Christ and the resurrection and all that, and how the aliens, when they have to recover their, you know, their exoskeleton back, and it takes like 3 days, 2 days, so they can find. So I found a lot of, you know, there was a lot of parody. There's a lot of things that were stolen from the good book, say, you know, to use in the movie. So that's why maybe my link to the extraterrestrial, you know, that maybe Jesus was an extraterrestrial. And if he was, I don't care if he was or wasn't. You know, I still believe his message is important.
Exactly. That does not,
you know,
change the overall message of...
I know in the end, we will find out someday, energetically, when we change. So that's kind of where my mind went. Just thinking about how there are certain beings that we give certain energies to, energetically, you know, because they seem to have the answers and they seem to have, you know, whatever they have, you know, that charisma, that karma, whatever, that dharma, whatever, that energy source, whatever that we don't have or we lack or we're looking for. So that's kind of where I was sucked into that whole realm, which takes us back to the beginning about past lives.
Circle the wagon.
Yeah, so about past lives. You always hear about people saying that they were probably there, you know, in a past life. That, you know, some people say they were Cleopatra. Some said that they were, you know, Einstein. And some people channel that guy. So I'm thinking to myself, well, how is that possible? But we had mentioned it earlier. Time is not linear. Time is multidimensional. You know, here, multiverses and everything, just we don't know really exactly how it works, but it works because it's just on a different level that we can actually perceive. So there can be 50 Einsteins, guys saying there can be 50 Einsteins and channeling Einstein or channeling Marilyn Monroe. Because Marilyn Monroe exists in many versions of her, as we do. So that's kind of where I was getting into the past lives section. You know, there was a part of me that felt like I was during the crucifixion. Even though I wasn't allowed up on the hill, because it's just like going to the jail house. If you didn't have a pass, you're not getting in.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So I find it really interesting. So I was like, so we're having this debate, the past lives and this and that, and the house, and I'm like, you know, today, you know, we'd be in an electric chair, and we all be wearing little electric chairs, you know, on our chest.
Yep.
You know, just little things like that came into my mind. You know, how did this guy? How did he get past? How did it happen? I know he had to die for our sins, and there's prophecies and all kinds of things. But I found it really interesting about the show, the AD show, is how they snuff it out. You know, like they try to. The parts you never read about, the parts kind of like don't really. Sometimes you have to use your imagination how it may have been,
mm-hmm.
and how true or how the accounts are.
Because mm-hmm.
you and I know both that the book that we're reading is just a watered down version of what really probably was in there. You know, there's probably things that have been removed. I know they've been removed because I've learned it in school, you know, in Catholic school. And so there's many versions. I mean, just the Gospels alone, you know, it was written, 43 years after Jesus died.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things can be transferred. So.
Right. Well, I mean, in one, my research, one, and this could be a 37-hour show in itself, but, you know, one thing that I have found is the Bible was put together by the Council of Nicaea. The Council of Nicaea were the most, imagine all the worst politicians today that we have. The Council of Nicaea were the mafia and thugs, and for the most part, of mm-hmm. that time. They were kind of the, so they've already... I've seen many things that lead me to believe many things were maybe left out intentionally or whatnot.
Yeah.
Or maybe tilted at an angle to benefit what this corrupt kind of group that kind of put together the final version. And that kind of leads you to like the books of Enoch and stuff, which I just got a copy of. I've only skimmed it so far. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But there's supposedly some of the lost books of the Bible and stuff. And contain some very interesting additions from what little I've read of it so far.
Yeah. There's a huge they would like to learn. I mean, I know there's historical facts in the Bible, but I would like to know Jesus, the man, you know, like, I would like to know what his life was like compared to, like, ours, you know, day
right,
by
right,
day,
right,
you know?
Right.
For some people, they think that's irrelevant, but if that's not irrelevant, is then I can relate to somebody who, you know, who's a man, so he had to suffer much
right.
more painful, more pain than I could ever, you know, and bleed in a way that I can never bleed, be tempted in it, I probably will never probably ever be tempted, you know, him being tempted, you know, just shows that he was man. That there was also an aspect of him that was man, and that, you know, the Virgin Mary in my culture is huge because she's a miracle as well. She's not, it's not just Jesus' show. It's, well, Mary right. had a big part to do with this, you know. You know, when God said, you know, sent the angel and goes, hey, you know, you're going to have a baby, you know, that doesn't bode, especially in that time. She could stone a child that's not hers, you know. So there's a lot of things that can, and so I find that it's pretty powerful. And so for me, the historical value of learning about Jesus is just as important. Like if anybody just saw all only the good things that I saw, you know, then, yeah, I mean, you know that there's more to it. And I'm not discounting anything from the Bible, the things that are there are not. But I feel like the historical record of Jesus is super important too. It's life also. You know, this guy got mad, you know. There's people who said that, you know, like in the book, you know, they talk about, you know, maybe Magdalene's role in things. Jesus hung out with taxpayers. He hung out with criminals. He hung out with the people that, a lot of people who probably show probably wouldn't do that.
Absolutely.
According to what I've learned.
Right, absolutely. I mean, he definitely, he hung out with anyone that he felt was, you know, sincere
mm-hmm.
in their beliefs and, you know, honored where they were. And I think, you know, that tried to learn or live by the lessons that they were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so, you know, Jesus, and I think, was not impressed by status or
no, he wasn't.
Money. Or he resonated with people who were real on you know, whatever level they were, you know, kind of outcast by society. And
I know I would have liked to have known that Jesus that probably did exist, where, you know, his disciples probably said, so what'd your dad say? well, we're not going in with swords and shields and horses.
What? Right.
You're the
right,
Messiah,
right.
You know. I mean, I'm sure they had those conversations. Sure. I'm sure they sat around the table. Well, guys, I got to tell you something. I'm going to die. You know, and there's no sword play in this.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, there's a fear factor. There's also him being a human being.
Right.
You know, the movie, what was that movie called? I don't know if it was called The Temptation of Christ. I think that's what it was called, I believe. Where Christ actually, I think William Dafoe was in it.
Oh, The Last Temptation.
The Last Temptation, is that what it was called?
I believe so, yes.
Right. He decided to go the other way versus not going. Well, he never did. We went into his mind where he went and everything fell apart. La, la, la. I thought that was really interesting. You know, that's good to know that, you know, that the man who died for our sins, you know, even though he was godly and his God's son, had human thoughts. He had things that was pure. I think that, you know, he was like anybody. He was like any teenage kid. That, you know, he would have these crazy moments and do things. And especially when you know that you're different than everybody else. Where I was getting to, you know, how the extraterrestrial, like when you have these special magical powers, you just know where they come from because only you can have them. So it was kind of an interesting thing. I'm not trying to detract from the Bible in any way, but...
No. Yeah, it's a great book, and it's done a lot of good for a lot of people.
And it will be doing a lot of good
and
for
whatever,
a lot of
people.
It's not only good for me.
Right.
Not only good for me. But, you know, I'm just like everybody. I have these moments where you just ask questions, you know, I'm just curious.
Right. I question never, and the things that I like and follow and believe in, I probably question even more than... know, things that I, you know, maybe are not part of my belief system. I make sure that I'm, hey, this is what I believe. Does this mesh? Does this flow? Does this does this make any sense? What are the contradictory to me that I can get rid of or may would make a better existence in the 3D world for me if I smooth out some of these, you know, whatever consistencies or discrepancies or things that don't really mesh. I want to make sure I'm not just living by some old belief systems that I had that maybe don't function for maybe some wealth time, but don't function anymore.
Yeah, the only biggest thing I ever run into when I talk about Jesus is maybe his lifestyle, how he, I mean... Like Mary Magdalene, some people think that, you know, maybe they were married or maybe they were lovers or they just cared about each other in a way that was no one could figure that could be possible, you know. Did he? I don't know. It could be. Anything's possible.
That is possible. That is correct.
All possibilities are there.
Yeah. That is correct. Anything is possible. And we don't, you know. That's where we have to kind of see what, you know, resonates with us and analyze. You know, we have to kind of go through and clean out our own stuff every once in a while, kind of see what do I really believe? I know I've thought that I believed, yada, yada, yada. But does that still fit? Does that still work with everything that I've learned? Does it still fit with... And I'm not even about the Bible or anything at this point. It's just, you know, in general, because I find, you know, there's different astrologers that I have learned from, and sometimes I find conflicting things on there, and I'm like, well, which of these is right? Which of these really makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
And two, you know, there's, you know, a lot of... There's people who put good things on Facebook, share it, you know, spiritual things and stuff. Some of those, it's like, boy, this is really awesome, but I have this little part that I don't get or don't agree with, and is that really, you know, does that really flow with all the other information that I know?
And I think, I guess, the part about that story is that, that he was a man, you know, he knew he was a man. But he didn't, and I'm a person too, like I'm a person, so I can actually relate to this person. If it was God and he did all these godly things, it would be hard for me to relate sometimes. But knowing that he was a man, and knowing that he had feelings, and his feelings were just ours, makes it a little more easier to comprehend, you know, that, you know, that love that he's talking about, and it's from divine source. It's a hot topic for people, you know. Some people don't like to talk about it, and some people do, and some people get offended by it. But Jesus was a jester. He goofed around and he had fun. He wasn't so dangerous as they make him sometimes, you know. I think he was just, he had a good time. And then he was serious when he had to be serious, you know. And I like my Jesus to be a little bit human sometimes. I like him to be, you know, hey, you know what, guys? Relax, man. We got you covered. You know, not like this, pray to me or you're going to go here. I can't get into that.
Right.
I can't get into that, you know, that old school of, you know, like, you know.
Brimstone and hellfire.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, like, yeah, I know you threw yours in there, but you know what? Come on, you know. Sometimes I get pissed off because it's like a big-ass game. Okay, mm-hmm. You gave me, well, gee, thanks. I didn't really ask for it, but thank you anyhow. You know?
Right.
I mean, you're gonna punish everybody because two people couldn't figure it out, you know. Well, gee, thanks. Really appreciate that, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, I get the concept, and I understand what it's all about. So it's not like I'm talking here when I don't understand. But sometimes I feel like this is big game.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I get mad at people sometimes because I go, well, why would my God do that? Why would this God that I pray to even put up these ideas and these things, you know? I mean, why would he? I totally understand the creation story and everything, so it's not like I don't understand that aspect, but I take it out of context and go, okay, why would someone who has all the power, has all the ability, and can fix everything in 2 seconds just to snap their finger, boom, boom, you know, and just change things? That's how my mind works, okay?
I agree. I've had similar thoughts.
We are where we're at. I get that. We are where we're at. I get that.
Right.
And I don't know. Spirit just leads you to the way you talk sometimes.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I went to this little... be a shocker for some part. You went to Catholic high school?
Yes, I did.
I went to a Christian school for 4 years, so... I'm fairly well versed in the Bible.
Yeah, me too.
And different.
I just don't talk about it.
And right. And yes, we would have discussions in class and things like that. And so yeah, I had many questions on things as well. I am walking very slowly.
Yeah, but it's a topic that it really,
right.
You know, it really has been always part of my life, and maybe with a lot of people.
Right.
You know, the question, there's always somebody with an answer, you know, there's, you know, like Maisie was, you know, we have faith and this and that. I get all that. I totally understand that we have to have this blind faith about certain things, but... This experience, too, the experiences we're having as this human body endeavor.
Right.
And I'm not saying to God, I'm not saying that there is no Jesus, because my heart, I believe that there is something there, and I just can't explain it. There's something very universal and very powerful, much bigger than us. That I get. But sometimes I wonder, and see, you can never, and when I was in school, we never, ever really challenged this part, because man wrote the Bible. Yeah, but it was influenced by God. God put his holy...
Right.
So it's from God. Yeah, but man wrote the Bible. And you were talking about the council now. They just removed stuff out of it, you know, and they felt like it was appropriate to take this out, blah, 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 whatever. And the pieces will find their way and it needs to found working their way back in.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening now. The pieces are working their way back
right.
in.
Right.
To some very discomforting to some people who are in power and people who really, you know, don't really want to find that.
Yep.
So, the version that I'm reading, yeah, it's cool. I love it. I feel like there's more, and my thing to know more is getting stronger. You're like, okay, I know Jesus is, and I know this is what's been said, but there's something missing. It's like reading a map, and then all of a sudden you have a map to, you're reading a map that takes you to Peru, and then all of a sudden you go to Australia. You know, it's like, I don't want to go to Australia.
Right.
I'm trying to get through Peru. You know?
Right.
So that's kind of how it feels sometimes when I read certain things.
I agree. Yes, sir. I had many questions put in my head in the 4 years I attended Christian school.
A lot of questions. There are people who say there's God, and God is man and woman, both. Because you can't have a big boom without, you know, with that big bam without lightning, you know. So you have to have the masculine and feminine energy meeting at one place, and boom, just
right
appeared out of nowhere. I mean, I understand what's happened.
Right. I mean, and, you know, regardless if you feel the Bible is literal or allegory or whatnot, there are very good messages in it. They're definitely that everyone can learn by. And
yeah. Not in faith or ideas about it. Just, these are just my ideas that roll around in my head.
Right.
But I find it interesting. It's good to talk about sometimes, you know, because it's... Right. You shouldn't just sit there and go, oh, well, you know, this is, you know. Because a lot of us complain and bitch about stuff not happening in our lives. And some of us blame God, and some of us blame ourselves. And it's like, well, maybe it's just a function of how things are in the way in the universe that we help create.
Right. Right. I mean, probably, like my most hated saying, probably, one of my most hated sayings in the English language is, and you hear this when I discuss religion or politics, I think that is absolutely false, and I think horrible saying. Because I think those areas are sensitive, but are so important, and, you know, I think those are the things that should be discussed. I think that's how we end up with the factions of religion, politics, you know, how we, don't ever discuss racism. Well, how do you fix or solve something when you never discuss it? Answer me that one.
Well, they put it on the applications. What race are you? So,
right,
thank you.
Right.
How do we not discuss racism if you don't? If you wouldn't put it on applications, then we wouldn't have to discuss it.
Thank God I have friends that I can talk about stuff with. I mean, because you don't know if your ideas are crazy. Sometimes you just sit in it, like we were talking about earlier, explore your own beliefs and ideas. And if you don't talk about this stuff, I mean, I see how people get swept away into these little, you know, weird cults like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the first thing? Anything that tells me not to question, whether it's a religion or a government or whatever, whenever they tell me to question something, I stop what I'm doing, put everything else down, and question them.
Sure, absolutely.
That is a throw down the gauntlet of challenge. So it's like, you know, bing. It's like saying for you to, oh, really? You're going to dare me on that one.
I always like when people say, well, what would Jesus do? You'd probably be pissed off. I don't know.
Right.
You know, are you trying to tell me that what I'm doing is not correct? How do you know Jesus wasn't mad? Somebody read in the Bible that he went into the marketplace where people were selling their goods in the synagogue there, the temple, and he just flipped things around. So that's the kind of Jesus that I know I like, you know, that he was real.
Right.
You know what? I'm pissed off. You guys are in my dad's house and you're doing all this stuff, you know? Come on, man. Boom. Out. Get the hell out.
Right.
So that shows me that Jesus was a man, that he did have those moments where he was, you know, showing emotion. Because all the time we see Jesus, it's all like, oh, I love you. You know, if someone was up me like that all the time, I'd be kind of concerned.
Right.
Oh, Mark, I love you, Mark.
Right.
Mark, you're so beautiful. God, you smile.
Right. And you, I mean, you hit an interesting point either. I mean, earlier about, you know, I'm sure Jesus had to tell his disciples and his followers some very truths sometimes. And I'm sure, even along with it eventually, on a lot of this, I'm sure, like you said, it's like, okay, we're not going to go in with swords and shields and stuff. For, you know, I'm sure, even if not outward, I'm sure some of them, wait, I know that this is the idea that, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how on board I am originally.
Well, there was scenes in the movie, you know, in the show that after death, that they were talking about, ran into this little group, underground group, who wanted to destroy the Romans, and they had swords collected and all kinds of stuff, and
yeah.
Peter, like, you know, I can't go like this. Oh, you have to fight. One of us, we're going to, because, you know, we're both going to be erased or whatever, la, la, la.
Right.
It was interesting to show that that stuff did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. That's called a resistance, and that's something that's part of something that creates and something that keeps it going, keeps it alive. Kind of like what's going on in the world, halfway across the world. There's things going on where people are destroying history, you know, by the dozens. And every day they're blowing up, you know, temples under the name of a god and under the name of a religion, because that's how powerful a belief can be, how powerful an idea can be. And, you know, if some of us sit here going, well, I don't believe in that. Well, that's true, believe in that, because, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We'd be talking about something else.
Right.
But the someone's belief and how it can create a whole following. You know, you've got you have your Christians, then you have these two factions. They're very different. You know, if anybody really studied, you know, religious history and stuff about, they're not the same. I'm not here to say that one's better than the other, but they're not the same.
Correct.
They're not. But they both have endured some long time. They've endured some history. You know, so whatever camp you fall in and feel like you resonate, it's fine. And, you know, our country was based and founded on, you know, freedom of religion, freedom of choice, and stuff like that. And it could be one of those things that either hurts you or helps you. I think it helps us, actually, that we have the capability to express what we feel, because, you know, we were persecuted for that. We weren't allowed to express our feelings about religion, but now you can. But we have so many in this country that one can't be dominant over the other, you know?
Right.
And that's where the separation of church and state comes in. A lot of people get pissed off because, oh, I can't pray in school. Well, then let the Muslim guy pray, let the Hindu guy pray too. Let everybody have their turn, you know?
Right, and that's why I'm not so huge on a lot of literal translations of things that happened hundreds or thousands of years ago. Because you mentioned the founding fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And so even there's a lot of discrepancy of there's many different schools on that.
Sure.
You know, were they Freemasons? Were they, you know, I mean...
You know what they were.
A couple years ago in... they were excavating Benjamin Franklin's historical house in Pennsylvania and found dozens of corpses or skeletons, remains of skeletons in the basement. So what was that? Was that his scientific work? Was that his medical work? I can sit here and I can guess and I can, but I don't know. I wasn't there in 1750 or whatever, you know. I wasn't there. I don't really know.
I wasn't there either. But that's a good point.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I'm going to steal a line from, you know, George Carlin. America was started by a bunch of slave owners that wanted to be free. So there were contradiction in everything.
Yes.
And that is a fact. This country was started by slave owners.
Yes, it was.
Who wanted to be free.
And I'm glad you point that out.
So just think about that one for a while. There's
no, you're right. I mean,
there's
you're
differences
right.
And things to be reconciled in all of our belief systems.
And that's why history is so important. And we talked about this in previous shows that, you know, the people who are in power are the ones who give their version of history, and it dominates the history books, you know? And
yep.
So that's, you know, now, like you said, they just found all these skeletons in Benjamin Franklin's house after they excavated. They could be people that, you know, he buried there, people he might have eaten. We don't know.
Right.
We don't know, man. You know, for us to sit here and say, hey, you know what, this is what it was, we don't know. But anything's possible because we can see it in our own society.
There was a horror movie that came out a couple years ago called Abraham Lincoln Vampire
Killer.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. That was awesome.
Okay. So, yeah. Do I think that Abraham Lincoln was a vampire killer? Probably not. I think that was probably a fictionalized account of Abraham Lincoln killing vampires.
Right.
But do I know? Was I there, and was I around Abraham Lincoln to say that Abraham Lincoln definitely was not a vampire killer?
We don't know. We weren't around. And you're
just
right.
Saying.
Just saying.
Just saying.
And we don't know. there's like things that happen just in our little lives here that people don't know about, you know?
I do know that a lot of the stuff in our history books that we studied and were taught in school, I do know for a fact that a lot of that stuff is crap.
That's the pretty version.
Those were created by the Council of Nicaea, the modern version, okay?
We're going to put this in.
Right, we're going to put this in. That we've got to take out. There's a scene in Interstellar. There's a scene in Matthew McConaughey goes into his kid's school.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about the moon landing.
Mm-hmm.
And see, even so...
Yeah, even, it wasn't real.
Right, right. At that point in the movie, they're like, oh, your son did a depiction of the moon landing, and, you know, that's been revised in the history books, that was just a falsified thing to break the Soviet Union financially. Is that true? Did we really land on the moon? I have my opinion.
I've heard a lot of things.
I've heard a lot of very interesting arguments from both sides.
Lighting and how he took a picture of himself and la-da-la-da-la-da.
Directed by Kubrick.
Steven Spielberg?
Stanley Kubrick.
Just joking.
Even more bizarre.
Yeah. But, that's a good question. That's a whole topic there.
If you want to...
The radiation on the moon would just kill you.
Oh.
Burn you. Shoot. Singe you.
If you want to see a really interesting movie, documentary, I think you can watch it for free on YouTube. It is... Oh, no. Not going to remember the guy's name. But there's an analysis of Kubrick's films. Or just, if you go to YouTube and Google, analysis of The Shining, there's a guy who's really awesome with this stuff. I mean, it's like a two-hour documentary. And there are hints and references all throughout The Shining to the moon landing. And I can't... This guy is amazing, and I can't remember his name. I'll try to post it. But I'm just saying, there's... We have our beliefs and what we think is accurate and everything, mm-hmm. but when it comes to the end of the day, we are reading textbooks, history books, analysis of people that maybe have degrees, but were not there at the time either. They weren't there any more than we were. And so that even goes back to the original topic that we started the show with is... If you're watching someone who proclaims themselves to be a guru on the internet or TV, just remember, that's what they're proclaiming themselves to be. And if the message resonates with you and you find that their teachings are true, then awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But also have your... There is a purpose for the left side of our brain.
And tenure. So we hope you're enjoying our show. We're talking about all kinds of stuff.
And we'll probably get us in trouble later.
But we were talking about past lives. So these are all past lives. These are past lives of America, past lives of history, past lives of people who are before us. And their life affects us today. So that's kind of how the past life thing came into. I wanted to bring that up because now we move forward and we become the past. And then we share the knowledge that we've been taught. So for me, it's super important to not necessarily get it right, but teach it in a way that's, you know, close to, you know, what it should be. But we'll never know that because we have different things that happen. You know, things get destroyed, annihilated, you know, wars, just all kinds of things happen.
Right.
We lose it.
Right. And like, there are many, like we talked about the books of Enoch and stuff, there are many artifacts and stuff of early man and of our history of the earth, and those are getting destroyed or stolen daily. There are many, in the last decade, there are many museums in the Middle East that have very interesting objects in them and some very ancient writings that cover some very interesting topics that have all been destroyed, looted, removed, stolen, vanished, burnt. So...
Yeah.
There's some stuff that somebody doesn't want us to know.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's take a little break, and we'll be right back. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Welcome back to With Insights Radio. Mark and Iggy here. We hope you've been enjoying our show. We're just kind of letting spirit lead us here. This is Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe, so hopefully we've given you something to think about for sure, because I know my mind's been moving and progressing, doing different things, and that's kind of a cool thing. We do have a caller online. I want to see if they want to have something to share, something they want to talk about real quick. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. We just wanted to see if you had something to share or something you wanted to talk about. If not, we'll just put you back on hold there. They must be listening to the show. So we thank you for tuning in. So we'll put you back on. Cool. All right. So we're definitely going to circle the wagon now.
Right.
Okay. The topic that we were initially going to talk about.
Okay. So One of the biggest questions I get, and one of the things that I, whenever I do an astrological reading for somebody, usually the topic comes up, or they have some interest in past lives and things like that. So, there are ways where you can glean information about such things. I don't spend that much time really trying to get exact details, which, you know, would have a hard time verifying exactly whens and wheres of when things happened in previous lives. However, when you look at someone's birth chart, when you look at Saturn, Pluto, and your favorite, the nodes, the north and south node, specifically the south node, you can get information about karmic events that happen in a person's previous life. And at this point, I've been studying astrology for 22 minutes. For about 23 years, I mean, just off the top of my head, I mean, I've looked at the charts of probably 300 sports teams, 200 or 300 governments and government organizations, 200 or 300 cities, several hundred countries, several thousand events, and several thousand people. So, I mean, I've probably looked through easily, and this is probably a grand understatement, but I would say very easily I've looked at over 5,000 astrology charts in my life. It's probably double that. Mm-hmm. It's probably more realistic. You can see information of through Saturn, Pluto, and the nodes, you can see what the person's wound or the biggest karmic things that they are going to be working out in this lifetime. One of the my preferred branch of there are many different branches of astrology. My preferred branch, what I specialize in, is called evolutionary astrology. And that's because it really focuses on the nodes and Pluto, and this gives you the most detailed information of this stuff. When there is a concept that to me is an absolute integral key thing at looking at someone's horoscope or birth chart, and there are a lot of astrologers that don't even use this, and I
It's one of the first things that I use. I'll sidestep that. it's one of the first things I look at. And if you have in your chart, if you have a planet that is square to the nodes, 90 degrees, from your nodal axis, the north and south node are always in direct opposition. If you have a planet in your chart that is square to the nodes, this is called a skipped step. And this is a planet that was very pertinent in previous lives. It is one that was not allowed to function or operate as it normally would. These planets were kind of repressed and or normally have some kind of trauma tied to them. These planets are a humongous focus in the person's reality in this incarnation. Very often, up until the time we are born, until around the age of 28 to 30, when we have our first Saturn return, which is where Saturn is at the same spot it was when we were born, many people are still somewhat have one foot in their previous in one of their previous lives, where they're still operating very much out of that south node energy. So, when you can identify, now everyone does not have a skip step in their chart, but those who do, these planets are, it's hard to hold your breath for 2 or 3 minutes, you know. These planets held their breath for a lifetime. For a whole life. So imagine how much energy. Imagine if you held your breath for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
How much energy or focus the next life you'll be like, damn it, I'm going to breathe. You know?
Yeah.
These planets are way more powerful and are screaming to be heard. They're going to be heard in this lifetime. So any planets that are skip steps are direct correlations to previous lives where these planets were not able to function, and now their power is greatly enhanced because on a soul level, we are driven and motivated and determined for those planets to express themselves. Mm. And so that's one of the first things that I look at in somebody's chart, because I know that those planets are part of the key, the motor, the engine of the birth chart, because those planets have to function and make themselves heard this lifetime. And people will talk about going in circles. They will completely get themselves in loops or circles trying to justify or let the energy of those planets that are skip steps out in this lifetime. And so that's one of the key things that I look at when looking at somebody's birth chart, is the things that they bring into this lifetime that are a main focus and determined to be expressed in this lifetime.
Cool. I know in Shaman, we talk about we've lived 1,000 lives. Some we didn't make it into it, and some of them we've lived very long. But we also understand that there's also a physical aspect to, you know, past lives. There's actually recorded, like anything that's, the best way to describe me is like taking a hologram of my parents, a mm-hmm. piece of them and a piece of my father, a piece of my mom, and then infusing it into me, and then have this recording that plays back sometimes. I'm my own unique person as well. But I also carry like these miasms, like these recorded digital stuff that's recording in my DNA in my system, and then you know plays back, and then I'll have dreams or I'll have these moments where I'm going, I don't ever remember being there, but all of a sudden you're there. So in shamanism we talk about that, you know, just we're also there are parts of ancestral parts of us that we bring along all the time. Now what happens is a lot of it gets, it's like taking a photocopied paper. And you take a photocopy, and then you take the copy you made and you photocopy it again, and you use the copy of the copy to make the new copy. Eventually what happens is it starts to degrade a little bit, starts to break down. So you still have the message or you still have the image or whatever, but it's not as clear. It's not as focused. So eventually at some point you won't even see it. It would go away. That's how how it happens. So sometimes you'll have these aha moments. You're like, wow, where did that come from? And then, or you'll meet somebody who has a similar experience that happens to be, you know, might have been there. But I do believe, and me personally believe, I do believe that we actually do, actually, energetically, since energy can't be destroyed, and then energy in your soul, basically, that's a good example to say, your soul can't be destroyed. And if you know anything about the planet, it's like a dome, it's like a force field. So if that energy leaves our body, it goes someplace, and then just gets recycled back into the earth, back into the mother, and somehow it just knows where to go and how to place and where it needs to be, and it finds its way to where it needs to be.
The soul is energy. Energy, even physics tells us, energy cannot be destroyed. It can only change shape or form.
Mm-hmm.
So when we transmute from our physical 3D reality here, I mean, our soul leaves our body to go experiment some other place, and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, come back, because you can't destroy, even though when the body dies, you can't destroy the soul. I mean, I totally believe that that's
mm-hmm. not to get back on the Bible, but it says you can't destroy the soul, can't be destroyed unless only by God. So
okay,
we'll get off that topic.
Right.
We'll come over here.
Right.
But anyhow, I really believe that, you know, it's like water, the water that, you know, evaporates and gets trapped in rock, gets, you know, back into the ocean, back into the rivers, back into your system, you drink it. So every ounce and every drop of water is still here from the beginning of time. It evaporates and goes wherever. It's still around. You know, it doesn't go anywhere. It just doesn't, it disappears in our, perception of life.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there's a drought, that water evaporates, it's not there, but it's still there. It's in the atmosphere, it's been carried someplace else, and it's being used again. So there is theories and there is proof, and they have proven that you could be drinking dinosaur urine, you know?
Right.
Years ago. Or Genghis Khan's, you know, sweat off his body, you know? That's just kind of how it works. It's kind of like the butterfly effect type.
Right. Well, you know, and two, something, you know, that I've thought about too is, as far as bringing, like, you know, like past life stuff into this life, you know, why are some people so attracted to Egypt? And some people are so attracted to the Civil War. And some people, you know, you almost have like an emotional attachment. I mean, there are people that go and reenact Civil War battles.
Yeah.
And, you know, why are some people attracted to Egypt and some people are attracted to Victorian times?
And some people are drumming.
Why are some people attracted to drum? You know, why do some people, I mean, 20 years, you know, 15,
mm-hmm.
15 years ago, we had a big resurgence of swing music.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
From the 1920s, you know. Why is that? Why do?
I don't know. Nudist colonies are up again, so there's a big resurgence of that.
I mean, why do we have, you know, is there a non-reincarnation, non-3D explanation, or 3D explanation for why there are certain eras of history or places or pieces of music that, you know, existed way before we were born in this lifetime? That, is there some other way of explaining why we have these really intense connections? Because, like, my attraction to Egypt is not a casual one.
Mm-hmm. See, I have no attraction to Egypt. Like you do, maybe. Egypt doesn't call me the same way.
Right.
But there are other things that call me, like
other
historical times. Like, I really need to know about Native American,
right?
You know, indigenous culture, you know, in the sense of the Egyptology type stuff. For some reason, maybe I wasn't there. But I'm more curious about, you know, the other half of the world, you know, what they were doing, you know.
And right.
I get a strong calling.
Right.
Mariner's life.
Right. Right. I mean, and that's kind of what I'm saying. Why, to me, the most plausible explanation for our intense attractions and things in this lifetime, where we've maybe had no experience. I mean, I've never been to Egypt in this lifetime, and I've never fought in the Civil War in this lifetime. I mean, mm-hmm. it was over, you know, almost 200 years before I was born. I mean, well, 100 years
sure
before I was born. So, I mean, you know, why
why else would we have these certain, you know, I have no attachment to the Alamo or, you know, I mean,
sure.
Why do some people do? Right, and maybe those people were there beforehand,
sure.
And not in the Civil War. And so why is it we have really intense attractions to certain things, but not others? You know, I mean, it's my argument that, you know, maybe because we were there at those places in previous incarnations,
mm-hmm.
and not in others. Some people are really obsessed with the Victorian era. I mean, look mm-hmm. at the, what's the thing every sound towards Cincinnati?
Oh, you're talking
Renfest.
About Renfest, yeah. And they really get into the characters.
Yeah, yeah.
The Renaissance Festival.
And it's almost like a lot of them feel at home in those clothes.
They would rather be there.
Why is that?
Well, are you going to tell us, or are you just asking me a question?
No, I'm just saying.
No, I know what you're saying. Why is that? Because there is probably a part of them that was probably there, or maybe their ancestral lineage was part of that.
Right.
We don't know. You know,
right.
I mean, I would have to say that there is a connection. I mean, if there wasn't such a strong pull, then it wouldn't pull you that way.
Right, right.
Like these people, like you're talking about the Ren Festival. You know, they feel like they belonged in that era. I do feel like that. Sometimes I feel like I was either born way too, born in the wrong timeline or not. You know, but don't know. I mean, it's just I don't know. Sometimes I feel like maybe I'm better in the past, or maybe I'm gonna be way better in the future. But I'm here now.
Right.
I mean, I can see this incarnation. I'm here. I physically feel it,
Right.
You know, some would say it's already over. You know, it's kind of like the stars burning out. It's kind of like Interstellar. You know, this has already happened.
It's just repeating
itself in a loop. You know, and so the loop is, you know, how you experience the loop. And that's what Interstellar was about. It's about how you experience the loop.
Right.
Versus, you know, because she could have totally ignored the books and the ghosts, like she calls a ghost, the past life. So man has found a way to travel through time by understanding that there is no time.
So here's a freak. This is a little freaky thought, a little mind blower. Just say, you know, so these different realities and parallel times are existing at the same time, and we are, you know, how do you know that, like, maybe as we do things now, it's not changing history? If everything is existing at the same time, how do you know if you're not spending 2 hours working on a costume for the Ren Fest?
You are.
That you're not also wearing those clothes actually in 1789 in England or whatnot. How do you know those two realities maybe? Because these are not, and I'm not talking, I mean, I can watch a movie on the Victorian era and it can be, you know, it can be mildly entertaining, but I'm not like drawn to it. You know, the Egypt stuff, I'm drawn to. The Civil War stuff, I'm drawn. And I'm not talking about like little casual, like, oh, okay, that's interesting. You know, I can watch a movie about different time periods or whatever and get. But it's, you know, there's certain things that I'm really, really, I'm like, you know, it's almost like you tingle, like, man, this is, it looks so familiar. And
you know what mine is?
Drawn to it.
Mine is when interstellar, extraterrestrial, astronautical beings appear in historical settings is what intrigues me.
Cowboys and dinosaurs.
Okay. Yeah, cowboys and dinosaurs. Okay, that's what really draws my blood. That's what.
Yeah.
If you ever want to talk about something like that, I know a lot of stuff about that. Like when you look at effigies that, you know, they call it cargo culture. Call it cargo. During World War II, there was islands that weren't discovered. You know, where men hadn't come on, but they saw planes for the first time. They actually made airplanes. They call them cargo. I can't even think. But anyhow, what they would do is they would make statues of these things that they saw because they couldn't explain them. So they have these effigies of planes and things that they saw on these islands. They're kind of like a cargo spirituality type stuff. You know, it's a modern way of saying that what they're looking at is what they can't explain. So I get intrigued by that kind of stuff because there's a lot of it in South America. I believe in Colombia, they actually found little airplanes. They're like thousands and thousands of years old. And so what they did is they took the scale of the plane, made it bigger, put little motors on them, and made them fly, and they fly.
Wow.
So they actually can fly and move around. So and they have these catapult systems to go into this to shoot themselves up in the air. People, like they have these.
Wow.
So there's all these things that intrigue me. And then in Mexico, they actually, the Aztecs have these figures of the guys that look like astronauts with the helmets. There's a huge part of me that believes that we have created interstellar. There is interstellar travel, that we do know how to do this. And only the people who know about it know how to do it. Because what happens is, you talked about history being changed and history being, you know, things some happen. Well, I think what's happened is, historically, we've stumbled into time lapse, like we stumbled into time and landed, and then all of a sudden we're perceived as a god. You know, and you see a lot of movies like this now are kind of happening a lot like this. So now we end up, and we're the aliens. So that, you know,
right.
When you hear people say we're the actual aliens, we're the actual, you know, thing
right.
that they're seeing, but they don't know how to describe it, and we can't really. And so we have to play the part as God,
right?
At that moment, because if we didn't, then we probably would die,
right?
Or get killed or whatever. But UFOs, for me, an example is flying classrooms.
Right.
You know, where you're actually going back in time to study what history was like, and you're standing there and you're hovering from one from time to time. Mark of the future is pushing the button, the cloaking button, so
right.
they can be seen. Mark, turn that button on. We can't interfere
right.
with time. We
right.
create a paradox in here.
Right.
So I have a lot of these things in my mind. But where do I get that information? Where does that come from? You see, that doesn't just come. That doesn't just. Some people would say it might be fantasy, it might be, you know, creating in your mind. But I believe that something is there that I can't explain, because I know you have it too, where you have these thoughts about things like that, and you're like, oh, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that feels real
right.
to me.
And there's, you know, hundreds of examples, and you can find videos on YouTube. You know, what about these 5-year-old kids that can play complete Beethoven pieces, like,
yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that they were all Beethoven, but, you know.
And then you talked about versions of ourselves communicating with ourselves. I kind of mentioned a little bit that there is ways to communicate with ourselves. And there's been, I actually teach this. I can actually teach how to do this, how to communicate with different parts of yourself, to talk to yourself, and to gain information that you need. Say you want to learn how to play piano. I guarantee you, I can teach you to teach yourself how to play a piano if you're willing to do the work and willing to listen to the things that you need to listen to. But this is what I find interesting, is that somehow some of us have tapped into this source and we use this source properly, some of us don't. My example number one, is this little phone that I'm holding in my hand, this little iPad or this iPod phone. To even think where we've come from, you know, just historically, you know, from the first computer to this computer. This is a computer now.
Yep.
This phone
oh,
in my
yeah.
hand is
oh,
now
absolutely.
Has replaced my laptop computer at my desk. The only reason I use it is because I did to broadcast this show. I barely use my computer. Everything's done on this little phone. So it's just amazing, the imagination, the human mind, and all the things that float out there in the Godiverse, you know, the universe, that we're privy to if we open up our minds and we accept it. So I get fascinated by technology. I get fascinated by toys and things like that, and how man finds these things. Because I think they've already been created a long time. Like they said, nothing's new under the sun, you know. So there's a lot more to see, a lot more to view.
Yep.
But I also believe that Steve Jobs had a way of communicating with himself from the future to the present. You know, I believe that he's dead now, of course, but, you know, in our timeline. That he still exists in this time, another timeline. So it's. I love movies about time travel, and yes, time you can alter time. When you can go back by correcting things, by forgiving yourself, and changing the things in your heart, I think you can actually correct things, and put things back. If you hold a lot of resentment and anger, some things either play out that way or whatever. But that's a whole another topic. But it gets really interesting. It's really deep.
Yes,
you're down the panda hole.
You're right down the panda hole.
Meet you at the rabbit's hole.
Right. I'm sure they connect in some reality.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah, I have fun with it. Sometimes, that's one of my favorite topics is time travel. Not that I'm trying to change time or anything, but it's neat to know that you can go into linear parts of yourself and discover they unlock parts of you who are in trauma, unlock parts of you who are suffering, parts of you who have had great life too. So they're all accessible when we open our mind to possibilities in guessing and having fun with it.
And that's one of the main things I try to do in my astrology readings is show people the parts of them that may be repeating cycles or the traumatized side of themselves that needs expressed to keep them from repeating these same maybe self-destructive cycles, and why some of these things are playing out, the situations they get stuck in, and, you know, why do I keep meeting the same kind of person in relationships, and why I try to show and pick out these patterns for people so they can see where, you know, the wound is that needs healed, or the negative patterns or negative tapes that they're playing in their heads, mm-hmm. or the kind of things that, you know, because, you know, once you shine some light into the darkness, those a lot of those self-destructive things can't exist as they were before.
And you find it wasn't really dark in there to begin with.
Right. Right.
I always like that. Is temporary. Well, we covered a lot of topics today.
Yeah. We covered about all of history almost.
We went from Benjamin Franklin finding skeletons in his to aliens to God and
So there's a brief wrap up of the last 2200 years for you.
Yeah. According to Mark and Iggy. Yeah, and Mark, I guess Mark and I kind of just saying, you know, hey, you know what? Don't just take things for what they are. You know, kind of question and ask a little bit. You know, it's okay to ask.
Right.
If someone gets offended, you know what? I guess that's on them more than it is on you.
Right. And you know, that's what I spent. That's one way how I would spend a lot of the, you know, when I was in corporate America, that's how I would spend a lot of the time, is not looking. I would try not to look so much at people's direct actions, but I was kind of looking at the psychology of what repressed thing is this person acting out, or why is there such an intense reaction to such a small event, or, you know, why does this certain thing trigger this person? And I would try to, you know, I don't try to mess with people's energy that aren't asking for it.
Right.
But absolutely. I do try, because I don't feel that that's right. However, I do try to, I notice these psychological patterns in people and things. And so I try to help them shift those.
Yeah. So just look around you, you know, look at your sphere of influence. You have a sphere of influence on people, and people have a sphere of influence on you. And look how similar a lot of the people that you're around are like you. And then look at the ones that are not like you and how much interaction you have with you. You'll be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be really surprised. It took me a while to see that, you know, who resonated with me, I didn't resonate with, and why I was holding on to certain energies for so long. And, you know, was I using my energy to stroke my needs, my ego in that time? You know, you have to really self-evaluate sometimes and look at yourself and go, well, you know, where am I at, you know, energetically? Because we're always changing. You know, one thing a teacher taught me one time is, you know, you are the people that you associate with, you are the books you read, and you are the books, you know, and you are the music and the stuff that you listen to.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
It's super important, you know, to know what you're reading, what you're listening to, whose advice you're taking, and who's, you know, influencing your decisions. Are you, or are they just... So that's something to think about. I think that we'll talk about that in our next show, next week.
So there's the last 220, 2,000, and 200 years for you in a nutshell. So there'll be a written test later, so...
That's right. So we're gonna dance our way out of here. So thank you guys for tuning in. Ho'oponopono, much love.
Yep. Have a good day, everyone.
See you later.
Ciao.